do this morning, really trying to state the purpose clearly, because in ways, the approach we took to this time was sort of just to throw you in the water and see what happened. Because we just entered into, Lisa spoke, really so clearly and beautifully about issues of community and the contemplative life and her what the work God has done in her own life and her story. And then you came the next morning and we did this Journey with this Experience piece. And then in the afternoon, you watched these women have this conversation that you just watched. And then we talked about spiritual disciplines and you may have your head kind of going like this. So what we want to do this morning is really take time to look at this first session. We'll have three little sections to the morning, but in the first section to look at the Journey Mates experience in particular. What are the sort of the elements of it? And you may have come already doing one in your town, and so you've just been sort of watching and going, well, we could do that, but I don't want to quite do it like that. And just that's sort of where you're learning out of something you're already doing. Or you may have come and you go, I really think I want to do this, but they haven't told me how yet. And or you may come and go, I don't think this is where my life is headed right now, but I see elements here that I'd like to pull into my life. Because in one sense, the rhythm of a Journey Mates morning and what happens in it, there are things you can extract and go, I'm going to put this in my life, and if there ends up being some sort of group down the road, that's great, but for right now, I know I'm just called to that. So I'm saying all that just to encourage you to really listen hard. This is not a how-to, and you don't get the manual at this point. But it's more an opportunity to do that sort of learning together where you've gone and you've had an experience and you come back. Like, let's say you went to somebody's house for supper and it was just one of those incredible evenings. You felt so comfortable, even though you didn't know him well. The conversation was great. It was really good. I mean, it didn't seem that complicated, but it was good. And you know as well as I do that it's not enough to go buy her china pattern or even call her for the recipes. That there are these other elements that sort of made it work. And so when you go home, if you go, I really wish I could make people feel in my home like that, or pick anything, a garden. It's not just going to the same store another woman goes to buy her seeds. Or even getting her landscaper, if you could afford that. There are other elements. So what we want to do this morning is do that kind of reflecting on the elements of what went into that. What can I learn from that if it began to happen in my own life? Are there ways that would it morph? But also, are there sort of things that there really are stakes in the ground? Don't want to use the word the non-negotiables, but stakes in the ground, that if you pull that stake out, you don't have the same thing left. Okay, so does that make clear? Mm-hmm. But I need your help. So what we're going to do together, rather than me going da-da-da-da-da-da, is we're going to go through the elements of a Journey Mates morning and let you do that kind of reflecting you do. So there's a very easy outline if you want to take notes, but also we'll give you a sense of where we're headed. As we're passing that around, I want to just stop for a minute and give you a chance just to sort of review yesterday morning from when you walked in the door and you realized, oh my goodness, there's no talking, to when we ended at noon. So just sort of sit. And now rather than just doing our reflections as they come to us, let's follow the chronology in a sense of the morning And I've got the center here first, but I should have put silence. I was trying to group things more tightly, but I wasn't thinking well. So let's start with just silence. You walk in and it's silent. There's a sign on the front door even that says, enter, you know, reflecting on his presence, enter the silence. So what's that like? What do you think it means? Because this is both your experience and what does it mean or what does it contribute? So you can kind of take your reflections in either way, the silence.
I think this is one of the most crucial parts because you're really entering a completely different space where heaven and earth connect, and without it we just would bring everything that we've been thinking about, doing, talking about. It wouldn't work without this. Mm-hmm. If we came in and started chatting, mm-hmm. the whole morning would not work. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced of that.
Okay, can you be any more specific, Nancy?
Well, it's just so hard to gather back into God's presence when we've been chatting with each other. Mm-hmm. So I love the way it says enter into the presence, mm-hmm. or into the silence.
Right.
Because we're entering into a new space, a new realm where intentionally we're aware of God's presence. And we're leaving behind everything, every fleshly connection we have to each other, everything we've done in the morning.
Okay, thank you. Let's talk for a few minutes, sort of leaving behind things. There are ways that when we walk into a room filled with people that are talking, there are things we do that are life-giving and things we do that are destructive. Mm-hmm. So Nancy's right, we're really choosing to leave both of those behind for something, because we're choosing something else, and that's a big point. We're choosing something else. So what are some of the life-giving or destructive things that we leave behind when we enter into a room of people keeping silence together rather than into a room of chatting?
Eliminate any kind of competition about who or what they've done that day, or just any... You remove that by not walking in, chatting about whatever might be going on, that subtly, I think it's often unconscious, but maybe there's some competition.
Yeah, there's competition.
We leave our whining behind. Like, you know, even this morning, you know, all the whatever happened to me before I came in, I could have walked in here whining, but I couldn't do that. I had to keep it in, keep it together, and rather than whining to my friends about what took place, I just had to remove myself from that place and enter, just be silent and be quiet before God in that place, which is so hard.
So our whining, our competition,
what are false identities too? Mm-hmm. I'm a veterinarian. I just came from a vet conference, and everybody there, you just give your business card out to everybody. That's your identity. That's who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we live our false identities.
Right.
Our titles.
Mm-hmm. Let's say you were somebody, because we've got some amazing women in our Friday morning group who have really, and the Monday night group too, who have really incredible ministries. I mean, they're doing stuff that it's a big deal. What if you come in and in a sense you're the recognized go-to person? What would be a life-giving thing about it's a room of silence? Mm. If you're always the go-to girl or the go-to man.
Allowing that person to also be with God. And I was also thinking, not only are we leaving our whining behind, but you know, we could have come off of an incredible, wonderful time with the Lord this morning. Mm-hmm. And it gives, leaving our celebration, our public celebration behind, and letting time with God continue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's such a relief if you, that you just, you don't have to make an impression, you don't have to answer someone's question, you don't, just be.
Right. Just be.
You can just be.
You can just be, and there's a lot of giving and taking that is very wrought. Some of it gets overly wrought and misshapen in our lives. But there's a lot of really good giving and taking. You know, I mean, if you were raised by a mama that was trying to raise you right, she told you, you take an interest in other people and you ask about them and, you know, this is how you show love. So, when I can't ask you about yourself, I go against the wall of, ooh, then how do I love you, right? Because I could have just stayed home and done the silence, but I came together. So I'm forced to ask the question, is this about loving other people? Is it just a selfish mourning? What have you? Has that question kind of come up with any of you? Like, what am I supposed to do in relationship to these women if I can't talk to them? Any other thoughts?
Are you free not to talk to them? Is that freedom not to talk to them?
Freedom, yes.
I guess I found, too, in the silence, that some of the thoughts from the small group yesterday, which happens to be our experience, came to mind, and we can pray for one another.
Yeah.
So it may be a different way of loving.
So it's just encouraging to know that you're here for the same purpose that I'm here, just being here, and it means that we're like-hearted and like-minded before God. Which is an encouragement. When we lived in California, we had a health club that had an ice plunge. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those, but coming into the silence to me is a lot like that. It's like stepping in, and it's a shock to me. I mean, it reverberates. And it takes a while to acclimate, but once you're acclimated, everything in your body sort of slows down and goes in slow motion, and in your mind and your heart. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to live in it, but it's a refreshing and revitalizing experience.
Okay.
Great.
That's really good. That's really good. It is. And in a sense, the fact that other people would, you know what it costs to set aside a morning, a week, or an evening, a month, or an evening, a month. And so you know what it took to get here. Let's say this is our journey next time, and you're thinking in your head, and you go, sometimes I just wonder, does anybody else, you know, I have all this stuff that goes on in my head about God and life and meaning and who I am, and I just am around all these people, and I don't know if they think about this stuff at all, but I show up here, well, maybe there are other people making the same pilgrimage, and I'm reminded. And that helps. It somehow it verifies for me there is indeed a God in heaven who is calling me home. Okay, so you walk in, and there's a table in the middle of here. And I love, Ralph, you really should speak now, because our experience with men has been different. One of our evening group, we've got coffee cups and notebooks bought on our table. And Mary's husband very quickly told a man in my group, oh, I should have said that. Anyhow, a man in my group said to another person, don't put your book on the table. But let's say, what's the point of this? You walk in and there's silence and there's this and there's music. What do you do with that? Why do they do that? Why do they change it every month?
For me, it's a way to fully engage. Mm-hmm. Like, it's my whole being, you know, senses, emotions, just all of me can, you know, God gave us all these different ways to perceive. And so having visual and, you know, the tactile and all of that is just really a great way to participate.
And it's really a clue, isn't it, Laura, that I'm going to do this, isn't going to just be about my head. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are places we go and we want it to be. I went to hear N.T. Wright Monday morning. I want a 50-minute download. You know, start talking, sir. And I got a 50-minute download and it was absolutely delightful. But you walk in and you see this and you go, oh. And if it were just always flowers, you'd have a different person. You'd think, oh, isn't that nice? They do an arrangement. And I love flowers. But because it's not flowers and it's kind of crazy things, what does it evokes that sense of engagement? What else might it evoke, or did it evoke in you?
Wonder.
Who said that? Pam? Yeah. Wonder.
Sort of the unexpected, mm-hmm. The idea that God is going to surprise me somehow. Yeah. A lot of times the center surprises me that way.
And I hear those things, childlikeness. Because there's a sort of, I was a child of the 60s, and the way we would approach it was like this, and I could still hear it in my head, oh, it's really heavy. That's really different, because that's when we're just looking to say something profound. But when a child goes outside and comes back with just a flower, or I want you to come see a bug, or a spider web, there's something different going on. And wonder is about those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And why is that important?
I think of Jesus saying that I go to prepare a place for you, and when I see that someone has come before me with mm-hmm. him and done any preparation, mm-hmm. it reminds mm-hmm. me and comforts me that he's gone before me, he's ahead of me, he's planned and prepared for me. And that's just like a safe place to know mm-hmm. he's been there first, yes. and that he's worked with someone who has prepared anything mm-hmm. for me before I get there.
Thank you. And that will help us move to agenda, because that is such a wonderful, in a sense, summary of a lot of what is being incarnated, that we want to make a space. We want to protect and bound it by silence. We want it to have beauty in it. We want it to have room in it. So in a sense, as we've done Journey Mates, I thought this really is about an issue of creating safe and hospitable space, which we so badly need. You know, our normal relationship to time is two things. We either tell time to hurry up, or time tells us to hurry up. Mm-hmm. I mean, we, outside of knowing the eternal God, that's about all we do with time usually. You hurry up, or you're telling me to hurry up. But this is to create, in a sense, a bounded, safe space. And there have to be elements that let you know it's there and that you're welcome and there's a door in. That's really, really good.
Yes, Kevin? So the loaf of bread, it's ordinary. It's absolutely ordinary. If it was in the kitchen, you wouldn't pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. But here it is in the middle of the room. So it comes out of ordinariness, and that's what creates the wonder, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's, so that it makes me focus, okay, so there's something about bread here today. Uh-huh. So I notice it because it's ordinary, but it's not ordinary anymore because mm-hmm. it's in the center of the room.
Yes, and that attentiveness, you know, is one of the core disciplines. We're going to give you a sheet with the core disciplines later on. And I have been, we were down in Atlanta doing a group a couple of weeks ago, and Pam's husband said something to me I haven't been able to forget, but he said a professor at seminary told him that the key to holiness is paying attention, oh, I've got it written in my quote book, to the ordinary things we miss. It was said better than that. But yes, this is ordinary. It was a rock yesterday.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's things a bit stranger. I mean, we've got a list of the sinners we've done, if you ever just want to stir your imagination. But it is. It's like, oh my goodness, God is here. He's yeah. everywhere. Yeah. If I pay it like the mm-hmm. Elizabeth Barrett Browning poem, you know, Earth's Cradle of Heaven. Do you all know this one? In every common bush afire with God, mm-hmm. but only those who see take off their shoes. The rest sit round and pluck blackberries. Mm-hmm. And so part of the retraining of our souls is learning to pay attention to the ordinary.
Well, I'm always just being a part of the process of choosing this. It's such a prayerful process. Mm-hmm. And to see it both
both here with us, but also with companions, and to see that, see God working and bringing these images and these metaphors, and then, and to put them there, and then actually to spend some time reflecting on what we see in that. Mm. So in this community, if we were to take a moment and go around, what do you see there? Mm-hmm. What does that evoke in you? Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, you can imagine mm-hmm. what would come out, and maybe we'll have time to do that. But it's just incredible what that ordinariness brings to us mm-hmm. and takes us to, you know, takes us back to. Mm-hmm. So it is. It's a powerful element, and it's a prayerful element, and that's what I've been so aware of with everything that happens here, that it's about prayer. It's about mm. God, what do you want mm-hmm. here?
Thank you. Let's take that and move to the agenda, because it is, again, my sense of the agenda has something to do with this invitation and creating space. So if you've got your agenda with you, or can look on the person next to you, that not the 3-day one, but the one from the Journey Mates morning, What do you notice here? I live in Chapel Hill, so I would say, man, they wasted a lot of space on that front piece of paper. They're supposed to be saving the trees, and I sometimes feel guilty about that, but we continue to do it. What's the point of the space?
You say, what's the point of the space?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I usually think if there's a white page like this with just a few things on it, those are some important things.
Hmm. Okay.
So I should look at that and sort of take that in before I turn the page. There's a reason why it's not a list of a to-do.
Uh-huh.
It's a take a minute and read this and see what happens. Mm.
Let me pick it up. If you keep a day timer or a calendar, I don't do it online, I guess it maybe works the same with a computer, but you look through your week and you see appointments and to-do lists and all that, and then you see a day and there's like a block of nothing, you know, and it's a week ahead of time, so you're thinking, oh, it'll be full. But when you see that block in sort of the world, the hurry-up world we live in, if your life is a hurry-up life, what's your response when you see that unmarked part of your calendar?
Relief.
And this is a silly way to communicate it, and there may be better ways, but that's sort of what we're trying to say, really. But you know, this is just kind of funky, and you can make too much of everything. But in the group we do here, the two groups in Raleigh, and Nancy, I think, does it as well, and Edenton, I don't know what you guys do. But we put a scripture verse on the bottom. Again, we're, you know, things matter. What are we trying to say?
So everyone gets one of these when mm-hmm. we have
a
meeting?
Yeah, everybody gets one. They're okay. Just on the table, so in a sense, they're your guide for the morning.
Okay.
I mean, there are a lot of cool people to quote. So why don't we do cool people?
What's nice is that there are very few words, and so
yes.
I can so quickly fill space with words, with books, with whatever.
Yeah.
And even the scripture verse you have is really short.
Mm-hmm.
So I live in a world of words, so this is just.
Right. So it's not even a God's word is meant to instruct us, but not just that. But this is not a teaching. Mm-hmm. This is more
right.
What would be a good word to describe? It's not a teaching. It's not the memory verse for the week, even though memorizing the scriptures is wonderful.
It's an invitation.
An invitation. Great.
An encounter.
An encounter.
A prompt.
A prompt. Mm-hmm.
Kind of settling, this particular verse, settling.
Yeah. Settle. So if you come here like Mary says, and it was a really bad morning, and you come on in, you kind of plunk down in your chair, and here's, you sit down, and there's some little statement that sort of we do that sort of changes, and then you see the verse at the bottom. Does it help to sort of, it's meant to help, it doesn't always, it may not be what you need, but it is an aid to what?
Centers me.
Yeah.
It really does, it calms me down, it centers me.
Yeah, it centers me, it reassures me, it reminds me there's bedrock under me, you know, and I don't gather with a group of women or a group of men and women trying to see if we can have a good experience, you know. We really just, we know that God is here. And underneath us are his arms, the assurance of his word.
I'm a little bit lost.
Okay, sorry. All right.
What do we do with this space? What do you do?
We were just reflecting on why it would be there. And so people were saying things.
Why it would be blank?
Yeah, why it would be blank. Rather than we could have, you know, on the computer, you could shove this whole agenda up a lot tighter.
Right.
So why would we have left a blank spot? And we were just reflecting on some of the reasons for that. And then reflecting on why is there scripture at the bottom? Why is it?
You're not saying what to do with this blank piece of paper.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a statement in itself you just made, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we won't be told what to do.
Well, when somebody said invitation, I was like, I didn't understand that. I don't understand what that means.
You said it, didn't you? Would you build on that?
Yeah. There's an invitation to be still and know that I am God. It's just. In the scripture that's written there,
right,
it's an invitation.
Wow. Well, I think in the blank space, perhaps there's an invitation to do just to be, just to. I mean, just. You know, there's not an invitation to do. There's just an invitation to be. And most of the time, when we have a blank piece of paper. Well, we're supposed to write something in it. We're supposed to fill it up with whatever. But here it's just there.
Yeah.
But even calling it blank is a value, right? Mm-hmm. It's space.
It's just space.
Blank makes it sound negative or you're supposed to fill it.
So true.
But it's just
space.
It's a space.
But we know that longing, if our lives were before, right. We'd like to have a space on our calendar that was blank. Mm-hmm. Right. You know?
Yeah.
If we live in a really noisy household, we'd like to have a blank. When we have 5 kids, and for a while we had 2 more living with us, and I used to drive home when we lived in Calgary. And some of them were in college, and a lot of them were in high school and could live, come and go. And at my prayer as I turned my street was, oh dear God, please let there be nobody in the house when I go. You know, if it was between 8 and 3, I wanted them out of there. And with 7 kids, you never knew who was going to be making a mess in the kitchen. So there are times when we just want to go, dear God, please let there be nothing there. Don't give me a job. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me to look up 4 cross references to this verse. Don't tell me to write 3 applications. Don't tell me to even draw a picture better to write a poem. Mm-hmm. Just let me wait on God. So that's what we're trying to say. Okay, the other stuff, and I just want to look at it briefly, but we obviously have given you, sort of a list of the morning. And this, in a sense, is because we know that, you know, when you come to Journey Mates, you're sort of, everybody walks in the first year to an uncharted route. And it both helps to keep the silence, right? Because I'm not having to ask my neighbor what to do next. Mm-hmm. And so it helps us to keep the silence. But because it's an uncharted place for a lot of us, it helps to reassure us it's going to be okay. It won't last forever. They did say 12 down here. You know, like I told you, the first time I went to that silent lunch, I just really, the woman explained it. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. You know, and then I sort of fell into the pattern. Thought, oh my goodness, this is incredible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, the first time I ever came, this so freed me up because I'm such aware of what am I supposed to do next? When do I do it? Where do I go? This so freed me up that I could be more present to God because I don't have to worry about a thing.
Right.
This told me exactly where I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to do. So I found this the most remarkable tool.
Yeah. Because if we're duty bound, right. Or if we want to make sure we don't stand out as stupid,
yeah.
You know, it's nice just to have those things taken care of. They're just off the plate.
I didn't have to worry about a thing yesterday either because this was my second phase.
That's why you shared what you did yesterday.
Yeah,
I get it.
Thank you. Well, it was demanding.
Not my era. I'm the printing person. I'm not the printing guru. I can tell you. Not out of my skill set.